Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is being motivated for 2022. Hey, guy, I'm telling you, this is going to be a great year, and you want to get involved before it's too late. What are the five most necessary things you should be looking at in the next 2 months? We'll hit it today. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a charter member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a charter member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the ID Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to ID Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome
stuff. Pretty great.
Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. What are these member-exclusive events? Well, like coming up here in January.
Yeah, so think of like if you go to like a big event and there's like this special meetup that nobody knows about,
yeah,
except for like an elite group of people.
These are the elites.
That's it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For example, this January, we're going to be going to San Antonio and doing a members-exclusive Idea Day. And it's a lot of fun. Where we're going to stay, very nice place right there on the river. What are we going to do and what are we going to eat? Really nice event. In fact, we're pretty excited, Jeremy, Kylie, and I, because it's one of the nicest events we've ever put on. But this is only for our members. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it. We want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks, episode 112.
112.
112.
In the middle of October, it's crisp and cold in some locations, and here in Las Vegas, it's still 90 degrees.
It's true.
That's okay.
We're going to talk to you today about the topic of how to stay motivated for 2022. Some of you guys are still processing 2020.
Yeah.
And 2022 is like days away.
I'm telling you, 2022 is the next opportunity.
Yeah.
We are getting through what we've got through, and now it's time to prep like never before. I was recently having a conversation with a great guy, good pastor in Indiana, and I was having this conversation. He said, you know, I'm just a little, I don't know, concerned about in the current climate moving forward on some things, and we talked about it. And it was clear that God was calling him to move forward on some of these things, but we look into 2022, and because of the uncertainty of 2020, because of the long time to get back to growth as normal in 2021, not for all of us, you might be the exception, but for the church as a whole, there's this sense of, I'm not sure if now is the time to strike, and man, I believe right now is the time to strike like never before. So now, what we want to talk about is to get motivated. Motivated for 2022.
In 2021, to get ready for 2022.
Yeah, the first is very clear. Number one, and we're being as practical as we possibly can with this episode.
All about ideas.
If you are a ministry leader of any kind, if you're a leader of any kind, you should take, number one, focused time in prayer and study. Do not let October slip away without you having sat down first and spent a focused time in prayer and study. I'm not talking about your 30-minute time with the Lord, the 10 minutes with on prayer and 10 minutes in reading. And I'm talking about getting away for a day. I'm talking about blocking off a day and a half, 2 days. Mm. I do this every single year. It's one of the greatest moments of my life. I used to hate getting away by myself, Drew, because you know me. I like to be with people.
Energized with people, yeah.
Energized by people. The exact opposite of where you are, right? You're energized by alone time.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Introvert, extrovert. So I hated it. I would go away. I'm like, okay, I got to spend time alone and study. It's become one of my favorite things in the world. 3 days, go away, and just spend time in prayer and study about the coming year. Look, if you're a pastor, if you're a youth pastor, maybe that might look different. If you're an evangelist, a missionary, have you prepared for the next year by specifically going away, spending a little time, like the Bible says of Jesus, that he went into a far place by himself alone to pray, and just lift up your voice and hold a Bible and just walk with Jesus for a few hours, perhaps a day, perhaps a few days. Man, if you could do that, what benefit there would be for you?
Do this recently with just each other. Mm. And as she would say, you need to come apart before you come apart.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's true.
But I think it's really important. I think those times, those mountaintop experiences, or just the time away, silently listening to God, reading the Bible, can really have so much perspective and context for the rest of your year in front of you.
Yeah.
Those are the times I love. I have a specific place in a mountain very close to here. It's about 20 minutes away that I love to drive and just clear my head. And that's, I think that's when I get the closest to God. So
walk me through that. So you drive to a place at a mountain, you get out, you walk around. What do you do?
Yep. So I have like my own camping chair. I bring a cooler of drinks.
Nice.
Non-alcoholic. I'm a sparkling water guy. I bring my iPad, bring my Bible, and that's it. So I read a book or dive into a section of scripture. You can pray up there. You can scream up there. You can sing up there.
Awesome.
And that's my time.
Alone with God.
Yeah.
The place.
Sometimes it's so quiet, it hurts my ears. Like that's the kind of place I need. So I love it a lot.
So I'm the guy, I do rejuvenate by sitting in a Starbucks with 50 people walking back and forth. I don't mind that. That's where I'm at. But this place where I go annually is called Ironwood. It's a Christian camp in Southern Cal. And by the way, they have a shepherd's retreat. And I believe, I could be wrong, don't quote me, but I believe the first time you go, it's free or highly discounted. But all you have to do, if you're a minister, a pastor, contact them and say, hey, what about your shepherd's retreat? I believe it's called I forget the name of it, but say you're a pastor and you need to get away. And it's a beautiful place that overlooks the desert, and sitting there in an extensive amount of time in prayer, going through my full prayer lists, sitting there quietly, letting the Bible be read to me by my phone and watching the desert go by, just quieting my heart between me and God and allowing God to speak to me has been a huge, huge benefit. Now, for me, practically what that looks like, and we've shared this in previous episodes of the podcast, is that I will chart out my goals for the next year. I'll chart out my sermon series for the next year. Where am I preaching? What do I feel God wants me to go through? But I don't know what type of ministry leader I'm talking to. And right now, you might be saying, well, I don't have exactly the same type of ministry as you do. That may be the case, but you have goals for the next year. You have things that need to be accomplished. You need to clear your head. Here's the question I want you to ask yourself as you look at number one. Do you have a time between now and the end of the year that you can go away and spend a focused amount of time in prayer and study? Is it a half a day? Is it a full day? Is it a day and a half? Can you spend the night somewhere? And if you haven't done that yet in the middle of October, schedule it, make it happen, get away, and prepare your heart for 2022. Oh man, I want it to be a good year for you. You need to spend time with the Lord to get that direction.
Your goals for the coming year or your SMART goals. We literally just did an episode, if you go back to episode number 103 on how to set proper SMART goals, walk through that entire process. But this should be a time, hopefully, where you're running the filter of the SMART goals through whatever goals you want to accomplish for 2022.
Yeah, it's as simple as really spending that time in prayer, spending time in Bible study, and then getting out a notepad and a pen. I'm old school, right? And I will have a physical notepad and a pen. You'll pull out your iPhone and start jotting down ideas. Sure. Okay, man, you know what I'd really like to do? For me, man, I'd really like to further my education this next year. For me, I'd really like to focus on mentoring my deacons more. For me, I'd really like to focus on spending more time with the pastors of the church, or whatever your goals might be. This is where I was able to really help establish the concept of mentoring young men. That was one of my major goals for 2021. It began when I went away to a mastermind retreat with the Idea Network. And if you haven't ever been to a mastermind retreat, we want to encourage you to do so. And I really discovered that I needed to make that a major priority in my life through the process of the mastermind. Then I went away and I said, okay, how am I going to do that? Really spent a lot of time in prayer over that and wrote that number one. Number one for going into 2021 for me was mentor young men, raise up a future group of deacons and pastors for Southern Hills. And then I just listed out under there what were all my goals for 2021. And then I just start marking them off. I'm literally in the midst of that process right now for 2022. And I want to encourage you to do it. So these are the things that we think you ought to do. Drew, do you ever set annual goals? We've not talked about this much. Do you set annual goals for yourself?
Week, you would call this the slowest week of Southern Hills, but to me, this is one of my most productive week. It's the week right after Christmas, before New Year's.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I always feel like the holidays are kind of dying down, but your mind is starting to drift towards what's next.
Cool.
And if I don't get away, or if I don't set aside time to put things on paper, during that week, I get anxious like the first and second weeks of the next year. So I try to do that. I think it gives good perspective on different things. For me, I think that's a good time for me to recap things with my wife. I've literally put together like a PowerPoint presentation of the prior year before, like anything from like trips we took to like finances where we're at and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, she knows I nerd out on that kind of stuff, but it's a really good, kind of way for us to get on the same page with each other.
So really the commonality here is that you're setting aside time to make sure you're really focused on, okay, what happened?
Right.
And where am I going? And if you're sitting there thinking, man, I really feel overwhelmed. I feel like I really need to get my mind around this. You're not alone. Drew and I do similarly as you. Give yourself margin, space to think through, pray, spend time, and establish those goals for the coming year.
Yeah, because I think most, if you're a leader worth their salt, I think they do a good job of planning the work, so to speak, working your plan, right? That's very common. That's a lot of leadership stuff will teach you that. But I think where we fail a lot is reviewing how it went, the recap, right? So like, do I recap in that meeting for 2022 looking forward what my plan was back in January of 2020 and go backwards and say like, how did we do, right? Yeah. So I think that's the most important, is kind of recap the things that have happened and planning and adjusting forward.
So the way I've done that exactly is go through my previous year's goals.
Right.
And I spend time in prayer over those. And I say, okay, these were great. These 3 out of 10 did not get accomplished. Then it becomes a matter of prayer. Am I moving those into the next stage, or am I cutting them? Are they not necessary? And so it is, it gives the mind, I don't know what it is. It gives the mind, the heart, the emotions, a place to say, okay, I know where I've been and I know where I'm going. And that sense of, I have far too much to accomplish, there's no way for me to get through all of this, begins to go away when you give yourself margin to process in this way.
And this is something you helped me too with. I think when we recorded the SMART goals episode, most people, again, in our ministry context might know this better than I did, but as opposed to just applying the SMART goal filter to your goals, trying to filter your prayers that way. Mm. And I think that helped me become very specific and asking God for some very specific things in an exact way, going forward. So I think that really helped me kind of have, not just change, like I said, my goals, but my prayer life as well.
So. You know, that's interesting. We've never done a podcast about this. I gave it at a men's retreat years ago for our church, but walking through a prayer list, and maybe my specific prayer list, not that mine is any better than anybody's, but once I've shared that with the men of our church, it might be something that you say, you know, how do you structure your prayer list? And I simply received mine that I've grown up with from my father, who received it from his mentor, Sumner Wimp. And, you know, we adjust our prayer list. But if you've never walked through a prayer list like that and understood the correlation for a man or a woman of leadership between their goals and their prayer lists, there is a very, very interesting correlation that takes place, and maybe we could do an episode on that in the future.
That'd be neat.
Step number three, five things you've got to be doing right now in preparation for 2022. Number three, create your annual calendar. Why do we put this at number three? Well, because you've spent time in prayer, you've spent time in study, and now you've already established what you want to accomplish. So now you have to ask yourself, when? When is this going to get done? Yeah. At what point do I want to accomplish that goal? So you say, man, one of my goals is we haven't taken a family vacation in 3 years. That's a primary goal. When? Put it in the calendar. Put the big rocks in first before all of the other stuff messes it up. Whatever your major goals are, create your annual calendar.
Yeah, I think about if you've envisioned probably a very long list of goals, right? This is where you're placing them onto the calendar. It's like, okay, this is the time frame that's going to get done by. If you have, 20, 25 things, I think there's a common practice when you're trying to be productive and all that kind of stuff. It's like where you're just listing stuff, right? Like, so you're literally listing everything that's inside your brain to get it out of your brain into an inbox, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of that session, you might have like 30 or 40 things in the list. But the calendar, this step, this number three, okay, this is like, this is where goal number five gets done by.
Yep.
This is where goal number six, gets slotted. So I think having timeframes to this and putting a date to a goal is really helpful.
When I walk through this with some of the guys I mentor, I talk about spiritual goals. I talk about physical goals. Mm. I talk about relational goals, right? So I have physical goals, okay? I want to exercise X amount of times per week. I want to weigh such and such by this point. And then you've got relational goals. I want to have a family day every day. I want to say goodnight to my children eyeball to eyeball every single night, which gets more difficult the older they get.
Yeah.
These are relational goals. I want to have a date night once every 2 weeks. So if those are goals to you, when in the calendar are you placing them?
Yeah.
So that whenever your boss, or if you're your own boss, the schedule or the customer or the church member begins to demand, you say, oh, I already have that filled. I have that filled with my priorities, my goals. My goal is to, therefore I cannot. Incredibly helpful. So here are the things you must be doing. Number one, focus time in prayer and study. You got to set that for yourself. Give yourself that margin. Establish your goals. Number three, create an annual calendar. Start putting the big things in. This is where the missions conference is going to go. This is where the men's retreat is going to go. This is whenever my family vacation is going to go. And then from the annual calendar, work down to your monthly calendars. And from your monthly calendars, turn it into your 168-hour schedule, your weekly schedule per quarter. Which leads us to number four. What's number four?
Establish your annual budget. You're going to pay for all those goals.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you've got several budgets that you have to start working through.
Right.
If you're a ministry leader, you need to establish your ministry budget. Now, you might be saying, good thing I'm not the pastor. It doesn't mean you don't have a ministry budget.
Yeah.
If you're the children's director of a ministry, if you're the nursery director of a ministry, if you're in charge of the small groups, or if you're the associate pastor, you have multiple budgets that you're responsible for. Before you get to a place where you're like, I don't have money for this, and it's March, the question is, back in November, did you have a budget planned?
Hmm.
Did you prep your budget? Did you turn that into your executive pastor? If you're a smaller church context where it's just you and your pastor, or maybe you're the pastor and you've got one associate, what does your budget look like? Have you divided out your budget quarterly? Have you divided out your budget monthly? And it's not just your ministerial budget, then it's your personal budget. If you want to accomplish those personal goals, how much is it going to cost you for your gym membership, your diet, whatever it might be? Now look, I heard it recently said, I don't like budgets. I don't want to budget my time. I don't want to budget my money. And I don't know if you've heard this. I thought it was a clever quote. And that is, a budget weighs you down in the same way the wings of a bird weigh him down.
Hmm.
A budget doesn't weigh you down.
Yeah.
If you budget your finances and your time correctly, that's what makes you soar into the future. But it feels at first cumbersome.
Yeah.
It feels like, man, what a pain this is. But it's not budget. I know what it's like to be a pastor of 150 people. I know what it's like to pastor a church and you're like, I do not want to think about the budget. That can handle itself.
Yeah.
Do not abdicate your responsibility to walk through the budget. Do not just give it over to a deacon or a pastor and say, hey, take care of this. Make sure you're involved. Make sure your priorities and your goals are inside of your budget. What would you say to this, Drew?
I think it shows that you have a good level of stewardship of the ministry that God's given you. I'll pair that with a quote. I remember this one line when we took Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. He goes, "It's amazing to me how many Americans always get in credit card debt over Christmas. It's almost like you would think it's a different time of year every year." And his point was, Christmas comes the exact same time, literally every year. If we were just to have a small foresight and say like, hey, in 2 months, this is happening. In a month, this is happening. We wouldn't rack up these crazy credit card debts because we planned for it to happen.
Yes, so
true. And it's the same thing, I think, when you're talking about an entire ministry or business budget for the year, like things shouldn't creep up on you if you know you have certain events coming up. Like probably Easter is going to cost a little bit at your church.
Right.
You're probably going to have some expenses that day.
You're going to get to Easter or you're going to get to August and look at September and be like, oh man, these are two big growth opportunities. What can we spend?
Yeah.
And if you're like, man, we need to spend 15 grand. Well, you know, those things come every year.
Right.
So start saving $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month, so that when you get to Easter, you can blow it up, baby.
Right.
But start budgeting now. It's not your deacons who are holding you back because they won't fund it. It's not your church members because they didn't give enough for a special project that you thought of 3 weeks ago. I know I'm kind of being harsh here. But it's the fact that we haven't planned properly. And the reason I'm so frustrated with that is because I lived there for so many years. Mm. Did I ever tell you that, did Gary Graves ever tell you the story of the $1,000 balloon?
No.
Okay. First year of the church. First year, maybe second. And I'm like, we need more advertising at the church. We got to get more people here. And I noticed all of these housing complexes would advertise through signage.
Sure.
And we had a few signs up. I'd put in all these 2x2 signs all over the community. We still do that.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I went by one housing complex and they had bought a giant red balloon. And I don't mean like a Winnie the Pooh balloon. It was gigantic. I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's got to be 20 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And I looked it up online. Sure enough, I could buy my own for $1,000. $1,000 made out of canvas, very thick so that you fill it with helium. It goes up and there's a light inside. Hmm. So I'm like, well, this is it.
This is your marketing idea.
I'm not sure if I had a church credit card or my own credit card and had them reimburse me. But without talking to anybody, I'm the pastor. Nobody tells me what to do. I bought a $1,000 balloon and two helium tanks to fill this thing. Had it ordered, delivered to the church. My finance guy, Gary Graves at the time, looked at that and said, Pastor, what's this expense for $1,100, $1,050? I said, oh, it's our balloon. He said, we spent $1,000 on a balloon. And I got really defensive because, you know, an insecure 26-year-old pastor wants to make sure everybody follows his divine plan. And we had a little, no small dust up over that. We blew up the balloon and put it up over the church. And I was so proud of it because inside the balloon, it was kind of cool. There was a light and the light itself would make the balloon glow at night.
Okay.
And so it would glow this big red, and on the balloon it said Southern Hills Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And it was blowing. It was so cool up there. And we had a party at the church that night. I'll never forget. It was October 31st. We did a harvest carnival because Halloween is bad. And we had all the kids and everything. And somehow the rain started coming. It never rains here.
It literally never rains.
Rain and wind started blowing, and it blew that balloon so hard that the light inside melted the edge of the balloon, and it fell to the ground and was irreparable. It ripped to shreds.
Wow.
And now Gary Graves has that story over me forever. He brings it up to this day. He's sweet. He doesn't bring it up too often.
I'm sure.
Right.
He's very graceful.
I mean, we have ideas, but that was never planned for.
Yeah.
I never said, you know, here's our marketing budget. Here's our advertising budget.
Yeah.
And don't let the devil lie to you. Oh, you can't have a budget right now. You're only a year old. You're 2 years old. No, you can. You can establish that budget. And you may not be the numbers guy, but it needs to ultimately be your responsibility. Don't abdicate that responsibility.
Hey, that bleeds into our last point.
Which is?
Inform your people.
These are the five things you've got to do before January.
Number one, somebody else needs to know about your lofty ideas besides just you.
If you're going to buy a 20-foot diameter balloon,
sure.
Let somebody know.
Yeah.
let somebody know. A focused time of prayer and study, number one. Establish your goals, number two. Create an annual calendar, number three. Establish your annual budget, number four. And then number five, inform your people. Once you've got a plan, sit down with your deacons. If you've got three guys that really serve at your church and you've got 200 people, sit down and talk with them. Don't surprise them. I remember when my deacon sat me down. I think it was Tony Bailey, who is a wonderful deacon who served for us for many years, for the first couple of years at the church. I think it was him who sat me down and said, you know, Pastor, I know in January, this is exactly what he said, something to this effect. He said, I know in January you really like to get up on Vision Sunday and surprise everybody with your massive visions. And he said, that's awesome. And he was being very genuine and honest. He was a very great supporter. He said, but don't you think maybe you should let the people in, on, like your deacons in on what you plan on doing? He said, for example, I'll never forget, I had said, we wanted to buy a church van. He said, we could have known about that plan before. That way we can begin to think about fundraising ourselves, talk to our friends in the church, have a church van. That's a big, big deal. And it's a $25,000 expense you want to have. Maybe we should have been aware of this. When did you know? I said, well, back in November. He said, well, next time think about telling us about this.
Yeah.
Man, that was really helpful for me.
Mm. Yeah. And one thing that's helped us, and I think I was the one who kind of brought this to the table at our church, definitely did not originate with me. I heard it from another person. But when it comes to informing your people, if you kind of filter it through these three words of a view, a voice, and a vote. So in other words, if you're communicating something to somebody, it's helpful to let them have a view of what you're doing, right? In other words, they're not voting on this. You don't even want to hear from them. You're just informing them at that point and letting them have in on the vision, right? The second step is you want their opinion, but they're still not voting. So in other words, like, hey, I have this idea. What are your thoughts on this if we did this? Not maybe going to change your trajectory, not going to change where you're going with it, but like, we just want to know what the temperature of the water is, so to speak, right? And then the final thing is their vote. Like maybe it's in a certain climate where you have the right people, and like that truly is where you've already let them know what's going on, what their opinion is. Now you need a decision made. It's not just all up to you. And that's where the voting stage is. And I think about in most environments, that's really helpful to, you know, inform the people that you're leading and let them, that's exactly what he was telling you, right? Like, hey, like what you do going forward and what the vision is, it might not change, but we were just like, there's a few of us that are talking to a lot of key people in the church. We might want to know about it before you say this from your mouth for the first time in the pulpit.
So it's funny because Drew is too kind to bring this up. He's talking these details, but the next conversation happened a decade later with a deacon who said to me, and it was you. You said to me after I'm not sure if we had a board meeting or a deacon meeting, and you pulled me aside and said, hey, let's talk, Josh. And I said, absolutely, what's up? And he said, you know, I've only noticed that you get into trouble when you're not clear in what you want from the deacons. And you brought up view, voice, and vote, which we've talked about now for the last 2 years quite a bit. You said, Josh, sometimes the deacons need to be given a view, just a view. And that's ultimately what Tony was asking for. Yeah. Just a view. What's going on in your heart? You want to buy a van? Okay, fantastic. It's good to know. Sometimes it's a voice. And you said, Josh, sometimes you need to come to the deacons and say, look, this is what's going on. I want to hear from you. Tell us your voice. Speak into this.
Right.
And then you said, sometimes you want to not make that decision alone and say, this is a vote one. I want us to vote on this scenario. And I know the listeners are thinking they all have different ecclesiologies,
right,
and you need to follow your constitution. You need to follow your conscience as it relates to what your church is doing when it comes to elders or deacons or plurality of pastors, whatever you do. But whatever it is you do, there are core and key people, and they love you. They are not your enemy.
Right.
They want to support what you plan on doing. But you need to be really clear to communicate with them.
Right.
Give them a view, give them a voice, and give them a vote, depending on what it is you feel is appropriate at the time. And if you do so, man, we believe you are going to be ready for 2022.
Yeah, because the reality is, if they're worth their salt, they're going to help you accomplish those goals. And they, you know, by letting you in on what's happening in your brain and what you want to accomplish, they'll be like, cool, like I really identify with that one. Like, how can I help? They're going to come alongside you and like Joshua, you know, hold up your hands, so.
I recently was talking with Michael McConnell, who is the chair of our
great guy.
Yeah, deacon committee, and you work with all the time. And Michael McConnell, most people in the church, 99% of the people have no clue who Michael McConnell is. 100% of the people outside of our church have no idea, but our church would not exist in the way that it does without him.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. And he has doubled down on that, saying, you know, if you're able to inform me, I'm your number one supporter. If you're able to inform me ahead of time, I can help explain things to the board. I can help explain things to the deacons. I can help explain things to the church in a way that you don't. This is what I do.
Yep.
And man, look, guy out there, there are some people, and I know it's hard to trust. I know it's hard to sit down and say, man, I just want to give. I want to move forward, but I'm not sure that I want to trust. Trust the people around you. And what you'll see is you'll be prepared for 2022 like never before. Five things you should be doing right now. It's going to be here before you know it. We want 2022 to be the greatest year in your ministerial home and future. All you need to do is start preparing by doing these five things.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.